Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How's it going?
Pretty good. How goes the battle on your end?
It's Friday. I didn't think that Friday would get here. It's been, it's been a long week, and some shit went down this week.
Oh, right, because Gamescom was this... Oh, my God, dude. Gamescom feels like it was forever ago. I can't even explain. Like, I know...
It's still going on.
So slowly. Like, I just feel like those Microsoft and PlayStation announcements that came out, what was that, like, Tuesday?
It was pretty early.
Just so long. And do you know what I think did it? Because we did the Gamers Inn special to talk about all the Twitch stuff, we did that on Tuesday night, which made Tuesday feel like Friday. So the past 3 days have been awful.
Well, yeah, you kind of set your brain up thinking it's Friday, I'm going to stay up all night playing Smite, and before you know it.
I did that too many times this week. Too many times.
Yeah, but today is Friday, so you can do that after you've had
dinner.
And
then sleep in. And then have sleep pancakes. In. Because it's Saturday, and Saturday is Pancakes Day.
Oh, I haven't had pancakes in a while. I'm coming over. Yay! Joel, make some extra pancakes. I'm going to drive right after this episode. What is it, 16 hours?
Yeah, 20 hours.
All right, you stay up super late, and then by the time I get there...
It'll be extra life practice.
Yeah. Because extra life, I'm just going to drive and play... I got nothing.
So what have you been playing this week? Have you picked anything up since the last time we talked? Because really, the big reason that we didn't do a show last week is that, you know, Ryan and I hadn't really played anything new. We've been playing some Smite, but nothing crazy. And we were just like, well, nothing happened anyway. So, you know, like, we should probably, we'll take a week off. It's the summer. And then all of a sudden, we're like, oh my God. Or the Twitch stuff happened and we totally missed it. So.
Well, we did miss for a legitimate reason on Friday. We just decided to record a makeup episode.
On Sunday, the makeup episode, so. Yeah, so you have been playing something, though.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing a few games here and there, little titles, polishing off some ones I've had for a while. One of those is called Shovel Knight. I don't think I've talked
about
it on
the show. You haven't talked about this, because I looked at this and went, I literally pictured, like, a knight on a horse covered in armor, but with, like, a shovel instead of a lance. And I was like, that sounds like the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
And you would be accurate to picture that, except minus the horse. And it's not as dumb as it sounds.
You can't be a knight without a horse.
You don't get a knight. You don't get a horse.
You don't
get
any kind of mount? Nothing? Not even a wheelbarrow to go with your shovel?
No. No.
Lame.
Stick with me. The game actually does do some interesting things. It's kind of a mix. It's definitely like an old school NES inspired game, so rightfully so. I'm playing it on my Nintendo platform of choice, the Wii U. And it is available on Steam for those who are about to tune out. You can get it on your PC.
Which is good.
Yeah, hang out here for a bit and listen to this, because you can definitely buy it on a platform you own. It's kind of a mix between Mega Man and that Scrooge McDuck video game. DuckTales?
DuckTales?
Yeah. Woo! Exactly. You couldn't finish. You just had to. So you are a knight. You have a shovel. And your partner in crime, called Shield Knight, is taken away, killed. I think killed. This isn't a spoiler. It happens right at the beginning.
I was thinking, this is turning dark very quickly.
It's got one of those old school stories where you're the hero and your partner in crime is taken away from you. And you're on a quest to revive her at the Tower of Fate. And that includes you going across a map, sort of similar to Super Mario World, where it kind of overlays everything and it's got the worlds all over and you can traverse it and go into the towns. It kind of takes inspiration from many of our favorite NES titles, or at least the ones we remember liking. Have you ever gone back and played one of those NES titles? Like, they're not that great.
I haven't gone back and played something from NES in a long time. I think the last time I went back, although I did play Mario Kart with the Super NES version with my best friend when she came to visit for my birthday, because that's what we always used to do when we were growing up. So we had wine and pizza and played the Mario Kart on the Wii, and it was actually fantastic. But that's the last time. And it kind of stands up. But the thing is that they've done such a good job of like reiterating on the same concept within the Mario Kart franchise that it's gotten kind of like better as time has gone on. So it's not that the that Mario Kart is bad on the SNES, but it's just that it's so much better now that you kind of go, well, yeah, I can still play this, but the better graphics are just so much better than all the new features and everything else. So
yeah, nostalgia helps.
Kind of stands up. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like looking back at, say, well, Super Mario Brothers 3 is perfect. I mean, that game you could probably always go back to and have no issues with. But let's say like some of the earlier Mega Man games, and probably some people out there are like, ah, curse you. But they probably have the same feelings about an older game they played way back in the day. But Shovel Knight is inspired by those, but isn't faulted by some of the issues that crop up in those older titles. Like, there's no slowdown, there's no screen tearing. It looks great, it plays great. And basically, your combat is you have a shovel and you can swipe people with it. And then you also do the down pogo attack that you get in DuckTales, and you can pogo on your enemies, and it's more of a platforming game than it is a combat game. The earlier levels are more like, you know, traverse the screen, and the later levels that I'm on right now are completely difficult, so hard, and I'm dying nonstop. And you'll go into the level with, there are no game over screens, you'll go into the level with a certain amount of gold, and every time you die you lose a bit of that gold and it floats in the air. And you have a chance to get it back, but only if you survive long enough to get to that point to collect your gold again.
Isn't that kind of like Dark Souls? When you died, if you got back to your body soon enough, you could kind of pick up some of your items and things. And then unless you died again on the way to your body, or you didn't get there in time, I feel like there were like ghouls or something that came and stole all your stuff. I can't remember. Yeah. I did not get far enough to have enough items to bother recovering. So
I think there is a mechanic like that in Dark Souls, and yeah, it sounds like something that game would employ. That's probably the least cruelest thing about that game, is that they actually give you a chance to get your armor back.
Yeah, but I feel like it's one of those things that if you don't do the game exactly perfectly, you're never going to get back to that spot before all your stuff is gone.
Yeah, but there are instances in Shovel Knight where I was going in with 10 grand and then coming out with 1,000 because I'd keep dying in a certain segment. And, you know, it's still a lot of fun, and it's definitely got that awesome chiptune soundtrack that you have come to expect from people these days making like old school inspired games. It definitely delivers, and they're actually working on a bunch of DLC that you can actually check out because it was a Kickstarter. And all the DLC is based on free
the
updates.
The DLC was a Kickstarter, or the original?
Sorry, the original game was a Kickstarter. Mm. And all the stretch goals were like updates they were going to give. So
cool.
They're like doing a flip mode where you get to play Shovel Knight as a girl and then Shield Knight as a guy, and so is the Enchantress, thank you. Enfrancis, that's what the guy's name is when they do the gender swap. It's Enfrancis. And I don't know, I'm just really digging it, and it's one of those nice, like, old-school romps that you can get for the same price as any of those damn overpriced virtual console games. I definitely recommend it if you're into the old-school titles.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And so there's another thing that you've got here on your list that has me a little bit, I'm going to be honest, frightened. Mm-hmm. What did you play, watch? What do you even call this?
You're talking about PT?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't like scary games, Jocelyn.
I also don't like... Well, I have a love-hate relationship with all things scary. Movies, sure. Games, the rest of it. Like, I go in and I'm like, oh my god, I love scary movies because I love ghost stories. But I feel like I like my ghost stories told to me by a friend in a room full of lights with hot cocoa and a blanket. So I'm happy, I'm safe, it's bright, and there is no, like, action type. Like, there's no visuals. As soon as you make it dark or put it in a movie or put it in a game, especially a game because you have to interact, you have to drive the story, and you have to, like, walk through that door, I'm just like, oh, I can't do this.
you should be glad you do not own a PS4 right now, then. This is actually going to be related to our Gamescom news, but I decided to give it a shot before we had a recording, so I could talk about it in my personal experience. And hot damn, I don't like hot, scary games. It's not hot, it's just scary. Although I'm sure if the air conditioning was off, it could get hot. So anyways, this is a interactive teaser that was announced at Gamescom, at the Sony press conference, and it was called, this is PT, it's a new survival horror game coming for the PS4. Check out the interactive teaser and let us know what you think. So you boot it up, it's a free download.
I'm scared already, like I'm actually like...
It's scary.
It's gonna come get me.
You start off in this like dark, empty room, and you get up, and you're like,
"Don't spoil the whole thing."
No. I'm not gonna spoil
like the first interaction.
I'm just giving you like the bare bones, and the funny thing is that the internet has completely spoiled it because the end is news. And if you're interested, after I tell you this, go and search it out, especially if you don't have a PS4, because it's worth seeing. So you wake up in a room, you're like all disoriented, and you push through a door, you just walk forward, and you're in this hallway. And it's like, oh, interesting. Okay. You walk through the hallway.
It's like Gone Home.
Yeah, the lights are flickering. It's like a dark, scary hallway. You walk through the hallway.
I don't know what's worse, flickering power or lightning storms.
Yeah, sorry, I had to distract my dog. Anyways, you're walking down the hall, and the lights are flickering, and you hear noises, and you keep walking, you see an open door at the end of the hall, and you walk through it. As you walk through that door, you're back looped around to where you came in from the empty dark room. And you're like, okay, that's weird. You keep walking, and you do it again, same thing happens. Weird. You do it again, but now there's a door that's kind of creeped open. It's the bathroom.
Oh.
As you peer in, you're like, the game only will be a continuous loop unless you discover something that unlocks the next loop. So it's actually a really interesting puzzle game, and you're not even realizing that you're solving puzzles. So when you're peering into the bathroom, you're kind of looking...
It's very much like Gone Home, then.
It is, except it's what we were worried Gone Home was going to be, because as you're staring into the bathroom, this like ghoulish... girl.
Oh, dead little girl thing?
Oh, it's not a dead little girl. It's a dead big girl. It pops up the door, and then the door slams shut, and I jumped 3 or 4 times playing this game, and I had to put it down. Like, I couldn't...
And it's not even a game. This is the teaser trailer.
Yeah, it's definitely a teaser trailer, and the reason it's a teaser trailer is once you finish all the puzzles, you, which get... progressively more difficult, and it actually becomes less of a puzzle game and more of like a collaborative puzzle game, because you kind of, it had to be solved. It wasn't like The Legend of Zelda where you move around a couple pieces and you get the do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, walking back and forth and audio cues of like listening for this girl that's haunting the hallway.
And oh my god, I could not play this game.
You couldn't.
I had to turn the sound off in Gone Home because I was so sure that I was going to, that something was going to happen. And it got me a couple of times with, you know, like thunder crashes or something. Because, I mean, like we spoke about Gone Home before and spoilers. So we spoke about Gone Home before and it doesn't actually have any like supernatural crazy jump out and eat your face things. But you really feel like it's going to, and I had to turn the sound off. So if it's puzzles relying on sound because there's a haunting like ghost girl following you around,
yeah,
I will watch somebody else play it. That I could do that. I couldn't actually. I would end up just opening the first door and staring down the hallway and going, this is a fun game. I'm not gonna move.
Yeah, it's definitely worth playing through as a sort of tech trailer for this game, because you're actually, it's really neat because you're getting both a trailer, a teaser, and kind of an idea of what your game is going to look like when you actually play it when it's completed. So it's a nice combination. I hope more companies do this if they see it as a worthwhile venture, but I couldn't finish it because I guess the last puzzle is so complex and relies on you not being a scaredy cat, because you have to, at one point, you have to stand completely, no, you don't. Eventually, you do find a flashlight.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, and that's it. You find a flashlight and that's it.
Scare them off with the lighty stuff, because you know that really all that's going to be for is you walking down a dark, dark hallway and going like this and having some crazy, ghosty ghoul thing in your face.
Yeah.
That's how that's going to end.
It's freaky, and there's a couple instances where this ghoulish person it just stands there, but it's like, you know, if this trailer was made like 20 years ago, the girl would just stand there completely still, and then you'd look away and look back and she'd be gone. Mm-hmm. No, this is the new type of twitchy ghost girl where she's like,
And then all of a sudden, like right here.
Yeah. And that happened multiple times. And, you know, there's like a fails. I don't want to spoil like the mechanics.
Yeah, don't give any more information. Yeah.
You should definitely check it out. I kind of want to spoil the ending because I didn't even get to the ending. The teaser ending, which is all over the internet. I'm sure everyone's seen it.
I actually haven't. I don't know. No, I haven't. So.
Well, I guess I'll hold on to it. But
yeah.
If you're interested, there is a Twitch playthrough that there's a Twitch playthrough that you can check out. And it's an hour long, and it's a complete walkthrough with one person who actually gets the final puzzle. I couldn't do it, so I ended up watching the end.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely check that out because, again, I could not do this. So right now, I want to address this before we go on to the main game that we played this week. The chat room is freaking out right now because they're calling me a White Walker and saying that my eyes are super blue tonight. I turned off. I have like a blue fill light, and then like I have another one that's a little bit more like warm kind of hue. And with my hair blonde and I'm wearing a white shirt, it was too bright. I was really blown out, so I only have my one like LED white light filling the room right now. And so they're freaking out and thinking that I'm a White Walker, or, you know.
Are you a White Walker?
Colored context or something. But no, this is just Canada. I have very, very, very blue eyes, guys. Very blue eyes.
Yes.
Always have. They're mine.
They're not like from the White Walkers. They didn't give you
eyes. And I promise I'm not dead. I don't know why poking myself is somehow proving that I'm not dead.
I tried that in this teaser. Oh, God, I just remembered something else that happened that I'm not going to spoil.
Yeah, no,
it's so gross. It's I'm not playing this game. If anything, this teaser did the opposite of what it should have done. I'm not playing the game when it comes out.
Which is really funny because I am super interested, and I feel like I just want to buy this game to support the developer because I want them to make this stuff because I want to go watch it. I don't want to play it. I just want to watch somebody else play it. Maybe I'll like buy a copy for a listener who streams and be like, okay, dude, we're going to go on Skype. You're going to play. Or girl. Doesn't have to be a dude. No. I call everyone dude, though, so it's fine. Gender-neutral term. So I just want to, like, go on Skype while they play and, like, tell them what to do and tell them what to click because I would never, ever, ever have the balls to actually click anything or move.
The whole stream is, don't go in there! Don't go in there! Oh, God!
Don't go in there because that's where the solution is.
Turn around. Oh, God. I can't watch.
Speaking of creepy ghosty girls, the game that we were playing this week that we completely discovered independent of each other, which I think is really cool, is a title called Road Not Taken. So I was looking at my Steam library, and I always do this, where I'm just like, well, I have like actually not that many. I'm only at 114 Steam games, and I'm looking at them, and I installed Skyrim, and I was like, well, I don't really want to get into a Skyrim playthrough right now. I just want to play something new and cool and fun and, you know, what's going on, Steam? So on their main page, they had a sale, because it was a launch sale, for Road Not Taken. And I looked at it and I'm like, huh, puzzly kind of game. This looks really cool. Got a real Don't Starve vibe to it. So I'm going to give it a shot. As far as I know, the sale is now over, but it is free to PlayStation Plus subscribers for the month of August.
PS4.
PS4. Yeah. So check it out. If you don't already have it and you have a PS4, go grab it. Even if you don't and you have a PC, you can grab it on Steam. It might be Mac compatible. I'm not sure. But it's worth the $14.99. It's really, really fun. So basically what it is you arrive in this village. You're this little dude with like a cape on, and you carry this torch, I guess. And yeah. you arrive in this village that's just been hit by this crazy snowstorm. And all of their children are stuck in the woods. So what you have to do is you have to go around, talk to all the townsfolk, make friends with the townsfolk. They'll give you little bonuses and stuff. And then you have to go out in the woods and you have to get the children. Not in a creepy, like, get the children, like, weep, weep, weep kind of way. In a, like, save the children way.
What was that sound? That was sound?
My, like, crazy psycho.
Oh, like, okay.
Shower knife, like, weep, weep, weep.
Okay, no, that makes, yeah. Can I just say something about this game? Why are all the kids out in the forest? It's pretty much a child labor thing, right? Like, they're out there picking berries.
I feel like, yeah, they're out there, like, picking berries, gathering food.
I think
food,
this town should clean up its own mess. I don't know why us, the hooded people, are going in there to fix this.
Maybe they're just playing in the woods, and this freak snowstorm hit out of nowhere.
All the kids are playing in the woods, though?
All the kids.
Did you play in the woods? Obviously not. You don't like scary movies.
That is why I'm so terrified of all things scary, is because I used to play in the woods.
And now you don't, because now of I such don't. Wonderful things as the Blair Witch Project.
Honestly, that ruined things for me.
Yeah, I can't camp anymore. But I think it was the outdoor plumbing that that did that. But
anyways, back to Road Not
Safe. Yeah, sorry.
You have to go out and you have to gather a certain number of children, and basically you go in and it's randomly generated, so every single time that you go in it's different. So it has infinite replayability because it's a puzzle game. So you go into the woods, you have to rescue, I think, is it half the children to pass the level?
Yeah, I didn't notice that until like the second or third year.
Yeah, so sorry, yeah, it's years, not yeah. it's not levels. They're years. So it's like year one is the really easy tutorial type level. I found all the children, reunited them with all the moms, it was fine. And then year two, same thing, year three, same thing, and all of a sudden I hit year two is the same, but I hit year three, and then there was those totem things.
Right.
And as soon as I hit the level with the totem things, I was like, oh man, I had to leave a child behind, Ryan, because I couldn't figure out if you could reset the level. I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
Awful because I had to leave. And then the mayor actually said something, because you report back to the mayor when you're done and you basically say, I've done all I can. I've saved all the children, or I've saved as many as I can. I'm going back to town. And he gives you some speech, either thanking you for saving all the children, or he says something like, well, you did your best.
Yeah. Just don't look the parents in the eyes while you walk by.
I hope you don't run into the parents. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. But then, like, it's not like the kids are named. So, like, Susie belongs to, you know, but no.
If they're not named, it doesn't bother cold-hearted, blue-eyed Jocelyn, the White Walker. Oh, that's okay. It. The White Walkers get them. You're just keeping equilibrium among the forest people.
Exactly. I have to please my people.
Yeah. You gotta feed them babies.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
But basically, what I meant was that it's not like the child you leave behind directly impacts a relationship with one of the people in town. It's not you know, because you have to go in, you have to build friendships. It's similar to in WoW when you had there was like that marketplace at Half Hill and you had to befriend all the different Pandaren people to get different bonuses and stuff. Same idea. So you have like a friendship bar and, you know, everything that you do for them, you have conversations, you talk to them, you find out what their problems are, you find out what they like. And then if you have, because you can gather different resources. So there's like, not gold, copper, I think, and wood and rabbits and sheep and stuff. And so if you talk to somebody and they like rabbits, but they hate sheep, then if you give them a sheep, your relationship will go down. If you give them a rabbit, your relationship will go up. So as you collect these different things while you're out in the woods, you can help out with the people in town, and then they give you things. So you can carry around little token type things, which is what you get from the townspeople. Mm-hmm. So they have different buffs, like I'm trying to think of one.
There's like a lasso is the first item you get, which is in the house. And it's like +4 to parents, which I'm not sure what that means. but hey, that was a stat.
So anyways, it's basically what you have to do is you have to go in, you have to solve the puzzle, which involves moving things around. But what you do is you take your little wandy torchy thing, and it allows you to pick up objects that you're standing next to. But you can't pick up, like, if I'm standing, if there's something to my left and something below me, because it's all, it's a grid. You can't, like, move diagonally, you can't move outside of the grid. So you can pick up the thing below you and the thing beside you, but you can't pick up one or the other. It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And then same thing with the action when you let them go. You let them go and you throw them to the edge. So they either go to the edge of the grid, or if there's an object in between, then it'll hit the object and stop there. Mm-hmm. So you to solve the puzzles, you have to, you know, reunite the children with the parents. You have to like put three of the same tree together to open a door, that kind of thing. And you can carry items, but then they take away your, is it life force, or do you remember what it is, Ryan?
I don't know. It's a, like, you have a certain amount of like torch power, you know?
Yeah. And then if, that's the other thing. If you run out of your torch power, then you're done. You're toast. You're lost in the woods.
Well, you lose everything. You get game over.
Yeah. Well, and see, I haven't hit that yet.
Oh, okay. Well, spoilers, you die and you start over. You lose all your... It's a roguelike.
It's a roguelike, yeah. Which is another thing that we forgot to mention. There are so many different pieces to this game, and I think that that's what I liked the most. There were a lot of different pieces, but they fit well together. It was fun and interesting. There were, like, there's a wolf, but he won't attack you unless you corner him. And, you know, like, so it's just, they're really, really cool little things in the game. And I'm really, really enjoying it. And it's challenging. Like I said, I mean, I haven't died yet. I think I'm on year 4 or 5 now.
Sure.
So I haven't full-on died, and I can't remember. I feel like there's like 18 years or something like that in the whole game. But like Ryan mentioned, where it's a roguelike, if you die, then you start all the way back at the beginning again. But because it's randomly generated forest every time, then, you know, it doesn't get old. It doesn't get boring, and you don't know what the solution of the puzzle is going to be. So I really enjoyed it, Ryan.
Yeah. No, I was digging it. I got it free on PlayStation Plus, and... I usually go in and download them all and then play, check it out and see whether I like it. This one I'm actually was one of the first I revisited, and Road Not Taken, it has a really great art style, like very artistic, very sharp, and the animation's great too. So when you're even in the puzzle mode, it looks great. They have these cutscenes that they've like animated as well that looks just as awesome. And I don't know. I was just really digging the combination of puzzle. It feels a lot like, I don't know, like a maze type game. Because the earlier levels, you're kind of like playing around and managing your fuel. But then in the later levels, once it gets into normal levels, you're traversing and you're trying to like figure out, okay, I can't move this guy over because I'm actually picking up two other items, which is causing me to not be able to move over. And it just gets really complex. And there's also like a combination mechanic too, where you can combine items.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the crafting.
Mm-hmm. And that's really weird and very satisfying when you start throwing things around and they turn into something useful. Because there are some maps that are just filled with items and you can't move. And the way to kind of like trim that down is to start crafting and putting stuff together. It kind of turns into like a match 3 kind of game at that point. So there's another whole level to it. Not only is it a puzzle game, it's also a match 3. It's and it's a quick pick me up kind of like play for a bit, and you can quit right out and jump right back into where you were. I hope they put this out on iPad. I feel like it would be a great iPad game.
Oh, it would be such a good iPad game. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would probably be a better iPad game than it is a PC title. I think I'd probably like it on the controller, but I was using mouse and keyboard, and it was okay, but...
It's nice on the controller, but I just feel like they may have started this with iPad in mind. I wonder if they started as a tablet game. I mean, looking at their portfolio, they do a lot of iOS and Android titles. So not that it's not worth checking out on the console.
I think
this thing's going to land on iOS and it's going to do gangbusters because it's just got all the right checkboxes ticked for that app store. So
again, guys, that is Road Not Taken by Spry Fox. It's super awesome. It is free for the month of August on PlayStation Plus, mm-hmm. and it is $14.99 on Steam, which is where I picked it up. So go check it out. That brings us to our topic of the week. Oh, crap. Sorry. Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Mm-hmm. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which, of course, is Gamescom and all the crazy, crazy things that are going on.
Yes.
So, I was just on Current Geek, which was a ton of fun, and we talked about a lot of the content here, but Ryan and I are going to go into a little bit more depth on some of these. Mm-hmm. First off is Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is the next installment in the Tomb Raider, I guess, reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah, is going to be an Xbox exclusive, so they said in their press conference presentation.
Yeah.
But what has come out since then is that it is a timed exclusive, which is the same sort of messaging that we got from them last year on a lot of titles, is they would say, Xbox exclusive, Xbox exclusive, Xbox exclusive. Oh, wait, but PC too. Or like, oh, wait, but it'll be on PlayStation in a few months. Like, you know,
I don't think we're talking like
a few
months. Yeah.
But sneaky.
Well, it's sneaky because it feels very sneaky because Tomb Raider, it had a big release in 2013 with their reboot, and it did very well with the HD remake or the remastering or whatever you want to call it on the next-gen consoles. So when Xbox comes out and says, hey, we got Rise of the Tomb Raider exclusive to Xbox holiday 2015, immediately you're like, but I was looking forward to this and all I own is a PS4. Which was my reaction.
Or nothing. All I own is nothing.
Well, you have a PC, so it would be on PC as well. But your gut reaction is you're disappointed. But then when you really think about it, it's like, it's going to come out on other systems. It'll probably be 6 months. I could see it launching on Sony platforms in 6 months. But it really depends on how much money that Microsoft gave it.
Well, that's true. I was going to say, I don't think it's going to take 6 months. I can't see... I can't see them agreeing to that, to saying to Xbox, like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll make Tomb Raider. It'll be, you know, a whole 6 months. In the timeline of a game, like, if you think about when you started playing Tomb Raider, how long were you still playing Tomb Raider and still excited about it and thinking that, like, nothing else had come out that had really stolen your attention? Mm-hmm. Guarantee you it was not 6 months. People are going to be busy with other things in 6 months.
But I loved Tomb Raider. That game was great. And I think the point a lot of people haven't seen mentioned is that Crystal Dynamics had a bit of a rough time after this game came out. It didn't live up to Square Enix's expectations. I mean, Square Enix had huge expectations were not going to be met. But I think maybe that had to do with it.
I've heard that actually played Tomb Raider, loved it, raved about it. And I mean, like, sales may not have been what they thought they were going to be, but I think that they just set their bar too high because there were probably not negative reviews. It's the internet, people. There's going to be negativity. But for the most part, the reviews of this game were just rave. Everyone loved it. So I think calling this game not a success is just wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I think that, you know, Square Enix probably agreed to the deal to kind of have exclusivity to get that extra money in the bank, especially if down the road they're able to give it, they're able to, you know, kick it to a whole other console.
I don't really understand how they think that this might drive sales, though. I feel like if you're trying to drive sales, if you're trying to get the most that you can out of a game, out of a launch, then you put it in as many places as you possibly can to get the widest audience. There's probably not that many people outside of, like, I mean, obviously our kind of crowd, our group, who are more hardcore gamers who probably have both. But there are not a lot of people who have, at this point in time, purchased both an Xbox One and a PS4. So you're already cutting out, I would say, not even just like 2/3 of your audience, because you're saying Xbox One only. There's not a ton of people who have, like, super crazy gaming rigs, but the PC gamers, they're a really big group. Not to mention 10 million PS4 users. 10 million. you are going to them and saying, meh, we can do better with these 5 million Xboxes sitting on Best Buy shelves.
Well, like, you're also forgetting that this is an Xbox exclusive. It's going to be launching on 360 as well, which has a larger install base than the PS3 and PS4 probably combined. I don't know that for a fact, but I know the Xbox did really well.
I know that the Xbox 360 has huge numbers and was the clear winner last time around.
Sure.
But who's still playing on their 360? I know I haven't touched my 360 in a year. I've been strictly PC gaming. I mean, most people who were really invested in that ecosystem have probably picked up an Xbox One. I don't know.
Sorry, I don't know if it's actually they have actually come out and said it was 360. I think there was a leak that it might be coming to 360. So take that with a grain of salt.
False rumors, Ryan.
Not spreading false rumors. I'm just trying to make Microsoft look bad because we're Sony. No, I'm just joking. This is
I have no allegiance.
Yeah, no, this is not. Although crazy
Sony is rocking it right now.
Yeah, Sony's doing well, but I don't think this is. This is really crazy, and a lot of people are coming up with examples in the chat room, like Mass Effect was an Xbox exclusive.
Oh, no, I think what he's saying is that I've played Mass Effect in the last year on the 360.
It still works for what I was saying, but Mass Effect was an exclusive to the Xbox. Titanfall is currently an exclusive to Microsoft platforms. You know, if you wait long enough, minus the first-party titles, it'll come to your system.
Exactly.
I think you just have to be patient.
Which is why I have to be patient about Smite, because honestly, like, PlayStation, they won me over last year. My decision to potentially think about buying has remained the same. When I do pick up a next-gen console, it's going to be the PlayStation. I haven't really had that big of a reason yet.
Sure.
So when I heard the news that Smite was coming to Xbox One, I was like, no, it's like the one thing that would maybe sway me over to Xbox's side. But then, Smite is a free-to-play game. I play it on PC. We play like 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes more. And it's really brought me into the whole WoW PvP area because it's a very similar third-person view. It's, you know, 5-on-5. Team fighting all the time, which is just it made me want to get back into PvP and WoW so bad. So I mean, Smite is just the center of my gaming universe right now. So to hear that it was going to be on Xbox One, I was just like, man, I want this on console so badly, because I want to sit on my couch, I want to sit with my controller, because it really does, I think, would lend itself to a controller. You've only got 4 main abilities on each god.
Yeah.
Plus, you have 2 consumable slots and 2 ability slots, like, that are purchasable abilities that are available to all gods. So, I mean, you've got 8 things to push, tops, which, oh, man, controller, so amazing. So, I'm super stoked for the idea of Smite on my couch.
Yeah.
And this is another one where it's a timed exclusive, so it's going to come to other platforms.
Have they said it's timed exclusive?
That I believe
spreading
is what,
false rumors.
I'm not spreading false rumors.
I didn't see this, so
I'm 99% sure. I'll have to go back and check my Twitter, but I was talking to Octane Pro, who is one of the streamers who has been, he's definitely been on Gamers and Game Night. I can't remember if he's ever been on the show, but he's one of the official Smite streamers. He hosts a couple of their different shows on the official Smite Twitch channel.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, it's Xbox for now, that plans are in the works for PlayStation. So,
well, they, again, just like Tomb Raider, it's a third-party exclusive, and it's like it's a no-brainer to eventually get it to the other systems. And it also is a no-brainer for a small company like this to just, you know, to take that money from Microsoft, do a partnership, get some advertising. Like, this is the other thing, is like Hi-Rez is a small company. They've got a big game. I'm sure they would much rather spend money on development than advertising, and getting that extra money from Microsoft is a big boost.
That's true. That's very true. And I think it's really cool that it's the first MOBA going to consoles. I think it lends itself to the console experience way more than anything else. Like, I mean, it would not be fun to play League or Heroes or Dota 2 on a console. It just wouldn't. It's the view. It's just, no fun.
I'm looking forward to it. And I think that it would be really cool if Hi-Rez had like a controller option. And someone was telling,
you mean on PC?
Yeah, on PC, like an official one. I guess you can like X-pad it.
Yeah, you can kind of do a workaround. You can map your buttons.
Sure.
But it's not quite the same as full on controller support. But I do want to give it a try. We just kind of, when they started talking about bringing Smite to consoles, and when we were thinking about how fantastic it would be, we started talking about, oh well, how could we do this? What can we hack to use a controller on the PC right now?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. The one really big drawback to all of this is that, like, if Ryan's playing on his Xbox and I'm playing on my PC, we can't play together. It's two totally separate pools of players.
Sure.
I think, again, that, like Ryan mentioned, small company, I think they're going to be working towards bringing those groups together, doing integrated servers, all the rest of it, which would be really, really cool, because that's what I want to do. I have my core team of Smite friends that we play all the time, and I know that after a long work day, they're going to want to sit on the couch. Ryan, right? Yes. Yeah.
That's what I did after work today. I sat on the couch and was like, I'm going to play PT and probably have to get up off the couch because I'm so scared. But no, I love gaming on the couch, and you know, BioShock Infinite was a great example of a game that most people play on PC, but you wanted it for the couch. That was probably one of your last 360 titles too, right?
So it was, yeah. I get really tired where I'm sitting in front of the PC all day for work, and then I come home and, you know, everything I play is PC games. I'm very, very PC focused.
Sure.
So I love the idea of taking a title that I know I'm going to spend a chunk of time on. I've been sinking way too much time into Warcraft. But anyway, I have another 90.
Gosh. Did you boost this one?
Only by 30 levels. Only by 30 levels.
Only.
I got her to 61st. But yeah. So anyways, I'm spending way too much time in the world of Warcraft. Huh? So when I think about sinking, you know, 15 to 30 hours into a game, I want to do it from the couch. The next thing I buy will be couch game worthy.
Yeah.
People keep talking about this Destiny thing.
Oh, you don't want to do that. That game's... No, that game's going to be awesome. And it comes out in less than a month. And don't tell me you're going to do that previous gen baloney.
No, I think that means I'm buying a PlayStation in the next month.
Yeah, you're just gonna like add it to the list.
Yeah, it's just gonna get added to the list.
You Fair should enough. Look into
I'm gonna
the
be,
Destiny
I'm
bundle.
I'm gonna be one of 10 million, which is so fantastic. So PlayStation, that was kind of, I think, their con winning statement is basically that they are winning the next gen war by at least double. So they released the statement that they have 10 million sales versus Xbox. The last figures that they released were in April, I believe.
Sure.
And that was 5 million shipped. So the difference between sold and shipped is sold is actually end consumer. So it has gone from the store to someone's home and is in use versus shipped, which is sent from the company, so Microsoft or Sony, to the retailer. So different figures there. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's that far off in terms of their 5 million figure. That could be close to what has gone off the shelves. But the point is that PlayStation doesn't even have to give us shipped numbers anymore. They are giving us sold numbers. So very, very, very impressive coming out of the PS4 camp right now. So is there anything about PlayStation and what they brought to the table that got you really excited? I was just on Current Geek, so everyone knows why I am super excited.
For the PlayStation, I mean, the one thing I forgot to put in the notes was that they're actually going forward with their original promise to have SharePlay.
Yes, that is really what has me super stoked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because basically what I was saying on Current Geek, which if you guys didn't listen, you should totally go listen
Obviously,
to it.
Ryan didn't.
Yeah, Ryan didn't.
He was playing PT.
That's fine. I don't need support from my like 3-year-long co-host.
I was taking a bullet for you so we could talk about PT. I was being very scared. And I'm like, you know, it would be really good to go watch some Current Geek. I actually caught a bit of it. And I was like, no, Jocelyn would want me to finish this trailer game thing.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
So it is I think it's just currentgeek.com Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
It's one of the Frog Pan shows. If you're subscribed to the mega feed like I am, then just pull down Current Geek because it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we were talking about this and I was saying that the thing that has kept me from actually purchasing a next-gen console for the last year and a bit has been strictly the fact that it's a huge expense, and what adds to that expense is the games, because it's not just a $400 or $500 purchase, then all of a sudden you add all the games on top, and...
Well, Tom just stopped watching
right now, and he is not actually allowed to post links.
So CurrentGeek.com.
CurrentGeek.com. Thank you, Tom. I'll have to get you mod status or something.
Sure. Amove, so, are you listening? Come on.
Amove is logged in right now, but Amove is me, and that is not good radio for me to sit here and try to figure Twitch out. So anyways, what I was saying was that it's a huge... huge money sink, and when you add games on top of that, you're looking at the better part of $1,000 to start buying your games, your accessories, your you know, your PlayStation Plus and all the rest of it. So when you actually sit down and think about it, if I can go in, have no games to my name whatsoever, and I can say, hey Ryan, what is awesome on the PlayStation? And then you can say, oh, hey, why don't you try this super cool game? It's called Destiny. Come play with me.
Sure.
And it's just as cool as sitting on the couch and Ryan passing the controller over and letting me play his game.
What?
So it's also really, really cool just from a social aspect because, like, Ryan and I live very far away from each other. We are gamer buddies, but, you know, we never get to see each other. It's like once, maybe twice a year. So it's really, really cool that now we can do stuff and play stuff regardless of who owns what and who's where. And it's just, it brings people together, which is awesome. I think PlayStation is really doing this right. So what do you think about their actual implementation of what they're doing with this share play?
Yeah, share play. So Sony's did something really interesting when they announced the PlayStation 4 compared to what Microsoft did with the Xbox One, in that they focused on the games and Microsoft focused on, you know, entertainment. And we can see now where that's gotten them. And with Sony having following through on their games mentality with the share play, with PlayStation Now, where you can stream older titles, which is it just entered beta at the end of last month. The tech is solid. Like, it's been proven that PlayStation Now works when you have a decent connection, and that technology is going to be used for this PlayStation SharePlay feature. It's only for specific titles, but I imagine as it goes forward, they'll start integrating it into all the major titles. The thing that I'm really excited about is, say you have a game where we're both playing, let's take a, you know, Uncharted 4, for example. We're both playing Uncharted 4, and you find the super secret golden idol on level 5, and I can't find it for the life of me. I'm like, and you're telling me, like, oh, it's past the cliff to the left. And I'm like, I'm at the cliff. I went through the fork. I waved hi to Sully, gave him a high five, and I can't find it. And you're like, well, okay, fine. Let me come in. And you hit the share play button. You pop into my game. It's like, here it is, you dummy. You went right. It's left. Do this. You'll be able to tell which is left. And then you get the golden idol for me, and everybody's all happy. I mean, that's what I'm excited about. It's going to be really cool to be able to kind of
help
do that couch play.
Because
when I was little with my brothers, I always game with my three brothers. And Kyle, he couldn't find the Triforce piece. Like, okay, give me the controller. I'll find the Triforce piece. And that that mentality, I'm really looking forward to getting back to that, because right now, if I pass the controller to Ashley, I mean, once there's a camera involved, she can't do it. Like, she loved Road Not Taken. Like, she loves puzzle games, but, you know, like, I know stuff like that.
One thing that that Joel and I really struggled with was trying to find games that had multiplayer functions where we could just, like, sit down and play together. So it's going to be really interesting to see, like, how much you can actually do. Like, if we're playing a multiplayer game, can he and I sit here in Halifax playing and have you jump into our multiplayer game? Because if that is possible, to have like a local co-op plus friends from your friends list come play, oh my god, that's the best solution ever. Can you imagine, like, the two of us able to play Mass Effect multiplayer and then have you and Val jump in? Like, oh man, that would be perfect. So I'm really interested to see how this all works out.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I think the one game they've announced so far with this share play, before the share play got announced, was Far Cry 4, in the sense that you could pull in a co-op buddy to play the game for an hour as sort of like a trial basis without even having to buy the game. and it would like stream a specific portion off the servers, and it's stuff like that. I kind of see it as more like a trial version while playing with your friends, or playing like a dumbed down version. Nintendo actually did this a lot with the DS and the 3DS, called download play, where you'd have to be in the same room and you'd be like, okay, I'm going to send you data off my cart to live in your on your, basically your memory in your 3DS, and we're going to play.
And then it took 3 hours.
It did not. It was not quick, because it wasn't streaming over the server. You had to kind of download the game, and depending on what you were playing, worked great for Mario Kart. But
and I think that that's the difference, is that there's no big piece of software that you need to download or anything else. Like, you just jump in and go. There's no extra piece there. It's just the game. So yeah, I'm very, very excited. It seems very consumer focused. It's different than a lot of the implementations of this style of functionality that we've seen in the past.
Sure.
I'm super stoked. It seems like they're finally putting their consumers, their players first. And I think that in the long run, it's going to sell a lot of PlayStations. It's going to sell a lot of games. It's going to be like, oh, well, yeah, I want to play Far Cry 4. And I'm trying it on Ryan's. I really, really like it. I don't want to, you know, I want to have my own copy. I want to have my own save game, all that kind of stuff. And sure. I think it's going to be really cool. So I'm looking forward to it. The other thing I am so looking forward to, Warlords of Draenor. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Did you watch this cinematic? Because I think I watched it 10 times. I was like, the scene that they depict is just so iconic. It is the whole reason that the Warcraft world exists. Yeah. And then they just flip it on its head, and that's how the entire expansion's going to start. And the lore nerd in me is just going like...
They really flipped it on its head, because it'll be really interesting to see what they do, because based on the cinematic, they are throwing out Warcraft 3. You know, split timeline, all that fun business, Marty McFly, disappearing photo. But it's still interesting to see, watch this and see Grom do something that, you know, he wouldn't have done in the old games. It's kind of like, oh, but wasn't Grom a good guy? You know, it was weird.
Grom is such an interesting character anyway, even just in the existing Warcraft universe, because he goes between like good guy, bad guy, good guy, bad guy. And it's really, he's a complex character. So to see him in such a huge role in the new expansion is just great. Because I know when he, spoilers, when Can he dies in Warcraft 3.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Then, you know, like, it's very impactful, and it's kind of a letdown, because he's the kind of character that you want to see in this universe, in, you know, 3D, standing there talking to you sort of thing. Yeah. So,
well, Thrall gives him an opportunity to redeem himself, and he does that in Warcraft 3. And this cinematic and the news that's actually popping out because of Gamescom and Blizzard being there, it's they actually announced this at LA, but it's awesome, because the franchise is moving forward. We're getting back to a point where maybe they could split off and do a Warcraft 4 based on this new lore. But it's also kind of sad that they're moving away from it.
Well, but this is the thing. They're not, because I read this whole thing of how they were explaining it. It's not that he's actually gone back in time to the original Azeroth timeline.
Sure.
Because basically, like, the orcs still have to be in Azeroth. So it's like he's gone to an alternate dimension kind of thing. Like, it's another Draenor. It's not the same one. So events have progressed the same up until this point in time that Garrosh goes to. Or, sorry, Garrosh. I still can't say. I've said Garrosh for so long, I just can't wrap my tongue around it any differently. But anyways, he... no, stop it.
How much Hearthstone do you play? How many times have you heard Garrosh?
I know, but come on. Still, I just, every time I hear that, I'm like, ah, Innkeeper, you're saying it wrong.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, so it's different. So it's not going to actually impact the world of Warcraft the way we know it, per se. Like it, but what will is that if the new Iron Horde builds a new Dark Portal and goes back to Azeroth,
Yeah.
So it's because that's what it is. Like Draenor is, you know, it's all this interdimensional kind of stuff. It's not like Draenor is really far away in a solar system. Draenor is its whole entire other dimension.
Sure.
So it's all interdimensional travel portal-y magic stuff. So it's different.
at Battle or Battle.net at BlizzCon last year, they showed. I remember them showing, I might be remembering wrong, but they had a timeline where it was like, this is our current timeline, this is Draenor's timeline for this timeline, and how they intersect, and then this is the other Draenor where Garrosh goes to.
Yes.
And, but his end goal, which obviously you're going to stop unless World of Warcraft just stops being a thing and Blizzard stops telling, you know, the same story path every time where the good guys win. That would be interesting if they just
said, oh, the Iron Horde overran Azeroth. All is dead.
Or at least change the timeline where they were able to merge again. Now, that would be a really cool flip, but I don't know if they'll do that. Where Garrosh is just trying to merge those timelines so he has the Iron Horde to conquer Azeroth, correct? Okay.
Yeah, so basically he's trying to make the Iron Horde super strong. And if you guys haven't read War Crimes, you should go read War Crimes because, well, you should read Rise of the Horde by Christy Golden and War Crimes by Christy Golden because Rise of the Horde really tells you all about the history of the orcs, the history of the Burning Legion, and the history of Draenor in the original context, and basically why the drinking of the demon blood, how that happened, what that meant. It's really, really interesting, and obviously that is the event that's depicted in the cinematic that is disrupted. So going and reading that book is I think, really important. And then War Crimes tells the story of Garrosh's trial, and then what happens to him and how it happens that he ends up back in Draenor. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, it is really, really interesting. And basically the person who institutes the whole thing. Have you read War Crimes? Am I going to totally spoil this?
Well, no, I haven't, but I need to. And obviously, like, the end is this game and the,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
the trailer and the setup sort of ruins it. It doesn't ruin it. I don't know.
I don't think that there was anything about the instigator in the trailer, but if you don't read War Crimes before you go into the expansion, it's probably going to be one of the first things that's spoiled, like, because it happens like in between expansions at the end of Pandaria. So basically there's the instigator who believes that the Alliance and the Horde have become too weak because they've been fighting each other, and in order to defend Azeroth they need something stronger. So what he thinks is going to be stronger is the Iron Horde, and so they have to make the Iron Horde, make them strong, bring them to Azeroth to defend Azeroth from what's coming.
Sure.
And we don't know what's coming, but if you've ever played a Warcraft game ever in life, then you pretty much know what the big, huge, bad evil is in the world. So
Warcraft 3, yeah.
You can just kind of assume that you know what's coming. It's one of two things. And so he wants to defend Azeroth from one of these two big, huge, world-ending things.
So is
and basically, if when the Iron Horde comes to Azeroth, then the Alliance and the Horde will be destroyed.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So Garrosh is a bad guy, right? Still? Still a bad guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and this is what I'm really starting to love about Warcraft, is a lot of their stuff is really starting to be very gray. Like, Garrosh is a bad guy in the way that he has not made the best decisions, but like they kind of go into in War Crimes. There is no easy answer. Like, there are some things that he did that he shouldn't have, but they all not necessarily make sense, but there's reasons behind everything, and he's not the only one to blame in a lot of instances, and it's a really, really interesting. He's the bad guy from the perspective of the Alliance and the Horde because he's done some pretty horrible things to both sides.
Sure.
But the reasons behind them make him a little bit less so. It's really, really interesting. You should read the books. You should play the game.
Them.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm more so interested in Warlords of Draenor for story above any other expansion, minus Wrath of Lich King and Burning Crusade, which were also awesome because it's tied into the original lore. I mean, Mists and Cataclysm were obviously interesting because of you know, the great storytelling that Blizzard does, but I was more, because of nostalgia, I was more attached to those other ones because they were tied directly to the events of Warcraft 3. And this one is tied to Warcraft 3, but, like, with new story. And they're going back to it. They're going back to the earlier games, too. And, and I read all the early books, which covered Warcraft 1 through 3, and I'm glad to be going back.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really how I felt watching the cinematic, is I was just like, this iconic thing. I've never seen it in such, obviously, such crazy, like, it was like watching a movie, you know, like, the detail, there's just, the cinematic was so amazing. So to see that event depicted, and then to see it turned on its head, and to see Garrosh there with his father, and it just, the whole bit, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is going to be so, so great. So I'm really looking forward to it. And we can all play it this November, right? It's 13th, 14th?
There's one person that's super excited about this launching in November.
And who is that?
Ashley. Because you said to me, like, they're probably aiming September. Around your wedding, September-ish. And I'm like, oh, great. So I'll see you in November. It kind of just worked out. I mean, October's going to be crazy busy with October releases.
With Extra Life.
Yeah. And that is unfortunate. We miss Extra Life with Warlords of Draenor. But we'll do another 24-hour stream. This time not for charity, just for
just
ourselves.
For fun. I think, so the reason I got it confused with the 13th or 14th is because we're in 2014. So I've seen like 11, 13, 14 everywhere. And I'm just like, wait a minute.
I can't believe they passed on 12, 13, 14. Come on, Blizzard.
So that pretty much does it for our news section this week. We're running a little bit over time, but I mean, guys, there's lots to talk about. So if you want to show off your TGI pride, I just want to remind everyone you can head on over to /loot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H loot.com. Don't actually put a slash. I don't know where that takes you, if it even takes you anywhere at all, but I make no promises for the internet. So go grab yourself an awesome Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all of your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken, which I'm currently wearing. And I love these Slash Loot shirts. They fit me so well. They've got the whole broad shoulder, like, football player thing going on, which is perfect for me because I'm ginormous. So if you want to go to /loot.com, you can show off your podcast pride. So that brings us to our listener feedback section. First and foremost, I want to thank David Michael, who is a patron of the Gamers Inn. If you would like to join him, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersinn. We appreciate every single one of you, and you can go there to vote on what we play every Thursday night for Gamers In Game Night. We got an email this week from Dawn, who says, "Hey gang, absolutely love the show. While listening to episode 133, you got a song stuck in my head, so I thought I would share a little piece of this classic Gamers In style. Not my best work, but just had to share it with you. Hope you enjoy. Keep up the great work." So I listened to this. I laughed my ass off. I have to play it for you. And so, here we go.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. See? I can't do it.
Oh, man. This is going to be an excellent episode, people. I can feel it. So, thank you very much, Dawn, for sending that in, because... Man, oh man, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was great. I want more people to do this. Take the hilarious and sometimes
repetitive
odd things we say and screw ups. I mean, 133 was ripe with the tiredness, but definitely lots of opportunities to do that.
Yeah, so again, thank you very much, Dawn, for sending that in. I wanted to remind everyone that we had our giveaway that is wrapped up this week. So we are giving a copy of The Wolf Among Us to Carlos. Congratulations. Thank you so much for sending in your Smite drinking game rules. We are not necessarily going to incorporate all of them.
Some of them are doozies. Oof.
Some of them would put me under the table pretty quickly. Like every time a... what was it? Every time an enemy god gets a kill streak against you, because I swear to God, if that had happened last night, I swear to God, get it?
Gods.
Man, oh man, I would have been under the table because Loki in two games in a row was just absolutely owning me. It was so frustrating. I was ready to flip the table. So
Loki was kicking our butts.
Loki was kicking our butts. So there will be that will not be a rule, but no. You have to remember we are also going for longevity here. This is going to be part of the Extra Life Marathon, which we have actually created our Extra Life team page. Mm-hmm. So that is extra-life.org/team/
TGI.
Right. I couldn't remember if I made it the Gamers Inn or TGI. So yeah, extra-life.org/team/TGI. And that will get you to our team page. You can donate to any one of us. It all goes to our big pool. Our goal this year is huge. We are going for $5,000 raised. So if you'd like to donate, please do. You'll have tons of time. And again, we'll be doing that 24-hour gaming marathon. That will be October 25th. So that pretty much does it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of most of our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought of Gamescom, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. See, I can't do it.
Oh man, this is going to be an excellent episode, people. I can feel it.